I will just say that his bombing campaign starts in 1978, and he does not send a manifesto out until 17 years later.
Which is crazy, because nobody knows what the fuck's going on, so what is the point
of this guy's a lot smarter than us, and he's on a different timeline, you know? So,
gosh.
He had to do it just when it felt like it was the right time, you know? You get enough fear out there, enough randomness, and then you go, yeah, these were all part of my plan. My dental insurance covers nothing. What's the problem here?
Welcome back to the Trilateral Troika. This is Steve with the other Steve.
Yeah.
He's just mute tonight.
Now it'll come.
And Ryan.
Would you pause there for a dramatic effect there, buddy? What the fuck was that? It was like 13 business seconds.
So you know, they changed the tab on the Shasta, so he's definitely
no, I meant you, Steve. You before you said N. Ryan, you waited like a whole like 3 seconds.
Well, I was waiting for you because we didn't hear anything.
Oh, okay. I said, oh, well, Ryan.
Usually
you guys didn't hear me at all. I said, eh.
Nothing.
Well, oh, okay.
Said, yeah, oh, that's when I spoke.
Nothing came over. That's funny as shit.
We could always restart.
I was giving you your time.
Gold.
You know,
gold.
You could, you could do your John Galt speech. We could be here for 3 hours as you breathlessly deliver a speech on like the evils of like socialism.
Let me tell you something, brother. If you ever hear me giving a fucking John Galt speech, I have been compromised, and you should kill me. All right? Just fucking take me out.
It'll be like the end of Cuckoo's Nest, where I'll like be like Big Chief, and I'll just like smother you with a pillow, and then break out.
And then I broke out.
Just throw a drinking fountain through the window and just like run to freedom.
Yeah, I wouldn't smother me with a pillow though. That's a bad way to go. I'll probably fight out of that anyway. Yeah.
When we were flying into DC earlier this week, if you look out the window at a certain point, you fly like almost right over the Pentagon. You can like see the Pentagon pretty close.
Yeah.
And my wife goes, "So our pilot could do the funniest thing imaginable."
Right, I'm sorry,
now.
You're what? You're what? Your wife?
Your wife?
My wife. It's my wife.
You got married?
Not officially, but I mean, it's my forever wife.
Oh, one of those millennial things, huh?
Well, it was a millennial thing. She looks out the window. And she's like, "The Pentagon's right there." I'm like, "Yeah, I know." She goes, "Our pilot could do the funniest thing imaginable."
Right. Oh, man.
Finish the fight.
God damn it.
He's fucking dying. It's like perfect timing.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
Speaking of hitting the Pentagon.
In Minecraft.
We're going to be talking about one Theodore John Kaczynski.
Oh, big Teddy K.
Yes, yeah. Let's go.
Guy
Mr.
rocked out.
Environmentalist himself.
He rocked out with his cock out, you know?
Oh, God.
Ted Kaczynski.
You know, when I
was
a kid.
Born in Chicago.
I thought he was like Italian because his name was Una Bomber, and I didn't know that, Matt.
Oh, my God. Well, so for the longest time, I always thought Unabomber meant, like, he bombed one thing, and, like, they just, like, really wanted his ass. And then I saw, like, how they actually spelled it out, and it was, like, the University and Airlines Bomber. I was like, God damn, I'm such an idiot, bro.
Oh, my God.
He had a lot of gears to grind against university professors and airlines.
Hmm. Strange combination of things to have gears to grind against, but, you know.
Yeah, he was also a very weird dude, which we'll get into, obviously.
Yeah, him and Whitey Bulger.
Listen.
Although he was, as far as I've found, he was not actually dosed like Whitey Bulger.
Right.
No,
his psychological study was different.
Like, yeah, allegedly Whitey Bulger was dosed for like weeks at a time straight, like no stop.
Oh, it's not alleged. He was dosed, and he claims
he was like that.
Yeah, and... He says that when he would hallucinate, he would lie. Like, you know, it would be one of those things where, like, he sees, like, the, like, I don't know, like, whatever, like, coming up behind the guy asking the question. He's like, no, I don't see anything at all. he's like a clown come out from, like, behind the guy with, like, a knife. He's like, I don't see anything at all. I don't know what you're talking about.
In his head, it'd be like, this would be funny as fuck if that clown actually killed this guy. I'm not going to say shit. This would be hilarious. Honk, honk.
What? I feel like, too, with Whitey Bulger, because he's, like, a textbook, like, sociopath.
Yeah, dude, so absolutely.
I'm pretty sure that, like, these studies were not designed for them, so you're just, like, a guy who's just going to see, like, hallucination and just be like, let's see how this plays out.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Whitey Bulger's, like, sitting there just, like, not even tripping, just looking at everybody else, like, what's the problem? What's going on? What are y'all worried about? They're just, like, triple and 100-dosed Whitey Bulger, and he's just still looking at him. Pupils just firing off back and forth. Just big, little, big, little, big, little. No, I don't see anything. Whole walls just melting. People's faces are just, like, falling off. And he's like, no, I feel great.
Yeah, the guy asking the questions is melting, and he's just like, no, I don't feel anything at all. But Ted Kaczynski was born in Chicago on May 22nd, 1942, to working class parents Wanda Teresa and Theodore Richard Kaczynski, who was a sausage maker.
Back in the days when you could have that as a career.
I mean, you still can, but, you know.
You can't make that as a career.
Probably not gonna hobby. You gotta sell a lot of sausage, you know?
Yeah.
They were a Polish-American family. His parents had been raised as Roman Catholics, but they later became atheists.
Really? Polish-Roman Catholics? How about that?
He was Polish.
Shocking.
The name Kaczynski?
Shocking.
I don't believe it.
He could be a Jew. could be the other skis. S-K-I or S-K-Y?
His parents were married on April 11th, 1939. From the first to fourth grade, age 6 to 9, Kaczynski attended Sherman Elementary School in Chicago, where administrators described him as healthy and well-adjusted.
That means he's fat.
They would describe him as husky. He's a husky lad.
Yeah.
He is.
When he was a kid, his mom would take him into the pants section, and he would buy huskies.
They just write in the notes, definitely Polish.
He shop husky section of Sears Roebuck.
Husky SKY or SKI?
SKI.
Are these Polish dogs, you know what I mean?
In 1952, 3 years after his brother David was born, the family moved to suburban Evergreen Park, Illinois, and Ted transferred to Evergreen Park Central Junior High School.
Why did they move?
It doesn't say why. But after getting his IQ tested at 167, he skipped the sixth grade, and he later described this as a pivotal event.
That's pretty fucking high, bro. God damn.
Ted Kaczynski is, like, undeniably a genius. Like, all of his professors, like his, like, mathematics stuff, like, all of them talk about, like, he's one of the most brilliant mathematicians that's, like, of our generation.
And he used it to blow up airplanes.
It's crazy. It's crazy because, like, when did I last take an IQ test? I think I took an IQ test, like, 3 or 4 months ago. I hadn't taken one in, like, 24 years or something. It's, like, the last time I took one. And I tried researching one that was, like, you know, somewhat reliable. But just to test it. I didn't want to take the full thing. Ended up taking the fucking full thing. Like, work called twice, and I was in the middle of a fucking IQ test. I didn't fucking pick it up. I did pretty well. But it's crazy how, like, just... Because my IQ was, like, 133. And if you go above... Just 30 points higher, you are a genius. Like, it's crazy. Like, if you just go a little bit higher, I am far from a genius, by the way. So, like, when you get to that end of the scale, though, like, it's pretty nuts, man.
Yeah.
Because I was reading the thing about it, and it was just like, yeah, it's like, these people are not normal. It's so, the thing is genius, the best way to put genius to people is, like, trying to make Major League Baseball.
He's in the Scott Hall sense if he's not normal.
You know what I mean?
I took exactly one IQ test in my life, and after I took that,
they're not
they made
accurate.
Me walk around the school with a helmet on, and they put me on his bus, and he had 6 seats, and also
bullshit,
had seatbelts.
No way there's no way you have a low IQ. Shut the fuck up.
There's no way you were in the leg up class.
Yeah, shut the fuck up. IQ tests are bullshit anyway, because intelligence is contextual, and as I've said before on the show, if your car broke down on the side of the road, then the mechanic is the smartest guy in the room. I mean...
Yeah, like, as soon as I got finished, they graded my test, and then they took me out and put me in what they called the special class. There was a kid that was, like, eating his fingernails. there was another kid
See,
that
now,
was
you know,
just, like, asleep in the back.
With what we know about autism now, you might have been in the room with the smartest kids in that school. You know, they just didn't know. They were putting the smartest guy in there.
I don't know, man. When I was in a magnet school with a medical program, I don't think we were the smartest kids.
when you turned in your test, they graded it, and they just looked more and more concerned as they graded it. And then as, like, they finished it, they're just sort of staring at you, and they pick up the phone and, like, dial it, not breaking eye contact with you and calling you somebody.
Yeah, give me Mrs. Morrison, please. Mrs. Morrison, listen.
The amount of times that I've had a test returned to me face down.
Oh, no. That was the worst feeling. They just come
Everybody's
over.
Tests are coming back, and yours is, like, face down and just slid over to
and
you.
And then they say some shit to you like, I expect more of you. You know, some shit like that.
Ryan, do you need some extra help? I'm available after class if you need some extra help.
Yeah. You know.
Get out of here. You know who didn't need extra help? Because he was a smart motherfucker.
But Kaczynski described this experience as being pivotal for him because previously he had socialized with his peers and was even seen as a leader, but after skipping ahead of them, he felt he did not fit in with the older children who bullied him. This is kind of a common trend with him. It's just one of those things where, like, if you have a really smart kid and they're just like, yeah, we're going to advance him up like a bunch of grades, like, don't do that.
No, it's very bad, like, for them developmentally.
Like, yeah, like, developmentally, like, socially, like, it's very bad for them. Like, you don't want to do that because they're going to get fucked up by it. Like, I know it makes sense, but just let them be, like, the smartest kid in the class.
It was recently, I would say last year, there was a news story of a kid who was, like, 13 that graduated from Harvard. And I'm like, dude,
that's
your
crazy.
Life's going to be fucking miserable, dog. Like, absolutely fucking miserable rest of your life.
Yeah. Maybe not, though. You know, maybe it'd be like one of those movies.
Yeah, I mean, he could be like the 1% that is not, you know, permanently fucked up from, you know, having to socialize with people that are, like, literally double his age, but, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know anything. I'm not a child psychologist. I don't know shit.
Same.
Neighbors in Evergreen Park later described the Kaczynski family as civic-minded folks. One recalling the parents sacrificed everything they had for their children.
What year is this?
This is in, like, the 50s still.
You know that, like, part of that quote was, that boy over there, he's sharp, real sharp.
That boy ain't right.
I seen him just the other day. He had the lawnmower working upside down.
Oh, God. Both Ted and David were intelligent, but Ted was exceptionally bright. And neighbors described him as smart but lonely.
That's, I feel like that's the most sad way to describe a child.
Ted attended Evergreen Park Community High School, where he excelled academically. He played the trombone in the marching band and was a member of the mathematics, biology, coin, and German clubs.
Do you think that these, like, high schools and shit like that, like, do you think you walk in and it's like, Ted Kaczynski graduated here? Like, do you think they're proud of that? Like, they have, like, Ted Kaczynski. Like, they have a famous person who graduated from
one of my favorite citations is, it was in, like, a mathematics, like, article, and they cited Ted Kaczynski, and then they just had the citation was known for other works.
Oh, my God. No, they did not.
Oh, that's they awesome. Did. That's fucking awesome.
Wow, dude.
In 1996, a former classmate said he was never really seen as a person, as an individual personality. He was always regarded as a walking brain, so to speak.
What a shitty way for people to remember you. You're not a person, you're just a walking brain.
During this period, Kaczynski became intensely interested in mathematics, spending hours studying and solving advanced problems. He became associated with a group of like-minded boys interested in science and mathematics known as the Briefcase Boys due to their penchant for carrying briefcases.
Hey, look, it's the fucking briefcase boys.
Boys, see?
Look, it's the briefcase boys over there again.
Man, see? You can't mess with us because we're the briefcase boys. We'll protract you and hit you with our compasses.
Man, I've never seen a briefcase that was neat, you know? Like on a normal person. You open that briefcase up, it's always full of fucking papers and shit.
Hey, over there, that guy talking shit, go divide his ass by zero. Ha, see?
Oh my god. I co-signed on high a school. Tangent. And she triggered my nometry.
Oh, fuck, it's awesome.
Throughout high school, Kaczynski was ahead of his classmates academically. He placed in a more advanced mathematics class. He soon mastered the material. He skipped the 11th grade, and by attending summer school, he graduated at the age of 15. Again, like I said, like letting your child like graduate early is not good. Kaczynski was one of the school's five national merit finalists and was encouraged to apply to Harvard University.
Say it correctly.
Harvard.
While still at age 15, he was accepted to Harvard and entered the university on a scholarship in 1958 at the age of 16.
Accepted to where?
He was accepted where?
Harvard.
Thank you.
That was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, Ted Kaczynski used to come down here to Harvard Yard.
He used to come all over the wickets. I don't know what he was doing over there coming on those wickets, but he'd whip it out. Nobody bothered him.
He would come down here to Harvard Yard, and he'd leer at the girls there.
I went over there, and I said to the guy, I was like, let me stop him, you know? And he's like, no, that guy's real smart, you know? So they let him jerk off, and he came on the wickets.
Jesus Christ.
What? It's like, that's a real Boston story, all right?
That's a real one.
Talking about Ted Kaczynski jerking off in public on the wickets.
Jesus Christ.
A high school classmate later said Kaczynski was emotionally unprepared. They packed him up and sent him to Harvard before he was
ready.
Imagine
saying that to someone you're fighting with or something. License. You know? Boy, you are emotionally unprepared for this. Oh my god.
You're not ready, bitch.
Yeah, that is the like academic way of saying you're not that guy, pal. You are emotionally unprepared for the situation. You're not that guy, pal. You're not that guy.
You're not him.
Kaczynski matriculated at Harvard College as a mathematics prodigy. During his first year at the university, he lived at 8 Prescott Street, which was intended to provide a small, intimate living space for the youngest, most precocious incoming students. He would live there for the following 3 years. His housemates and other students at Harvard described Kaczynski as a very intelligent but socially reserved person. He earned a Bachelor of the Arts degree in mathematics from Harvard in 1962, finishing with a GPA of 3.12.
Wait a minute. He graduated with a GPA of 3.12 from Harvard? I thought he was a prodigy. I thought he was, like, the smartest kid in the world.
Well, I'm sure his other, like, general ed, like, credits were, like, weighing him down.
Yeah.
Ted, you did fantastic in science and mathematics. However, your grades in home economics. Ted, do we know how to cook?
Can't muffin. Nope, can't do it.
You burned water trying to make pasta, Ted.
We're going to have to let you grade stuff a little bit here, buddy.
Somehow, every time I make this mac and cheese, it turns into a bomb. I don't know why.
He's talking about chemistry. Bombs. We don't understand.
He's in there talking about bombs again. Again, he's in there with the mac and cheese.
But Ted, we put you out there in the field for track and field day with physical education. You just flopping all over the ground like a fish. What's going on, Ted?
Oh my god! He's having a grand mal seizure.
In his second year at Harvard, Kaczynski participated in a study led by Harvard psychologist Henry Murray. Subjects were told they would debate personal philosophy with a fellow student and were asked to write essays detailing their personal beliefs and aspirations.
Talk amongst yourselves.
The essays were given to an anonymous individual who would confront and belittle the subject in what Murray himself called vehement, sweeping, and personally abusive attacks during the using the content of the essays as ammunition.
That's not good.
Kaczynski would spend 200 hours as part of this study.
That sounds a lot like Scientology.
So while he wasn't dosed, Murray was involved in MKUltra from what I remember, he wasn't dosed or anything like that, but he was involved in sort of we're just going to just shit on this person for several hours and see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know if it was MKUltra I'm thinking of, but there was definitely a study where and I know they do it in Scientology. Maybe it was a cult that I'm thinking of. I can't think what it is, but basically
it's very cultic material.
Yeah, okay. You'd get in a circle and then everybody would just go fucking ham on one person, telling them how awful they were, that they didn't fit in, they should go fucking kill themselves. Yeah. And it's intended to break this person down and make them better. I'm like, I don't know, man. If I had 13 people telling me how much of a piece of shit I was, screaming and yelling at me, I don't know that I'd come away from that with as a positive experience, man. So
it's exactly what I needed at that time.
Yeah.
I forget what that's called, but I think it's the game or something like that.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. And I wish I could think of specifically what cult I'm thinking of that would use it a lot.
But yeah, it was, I think they eventually
you're
became
a terrible fucking pickleball player. You're awful. They cracked me with that. They talked about my pickleball game.
That was it. I was done. I give up.
Kaczynski's lawyers later attributed his hostility towards mind control techniques to his participation in Murray's study. Kaczynski stated he resented Murray and his coworkers primarily because of the invasion of his privacy he perceived as a result of their experiments. Nevertheless, he said he was quite confident that his experiences with Professor Murray had no significant effect on the course of his life. Which is one thing I'll get to, because I'll just comment it here, is that there's a lot of discussion on was the Unabomber made by MKUltra? Was this a result of that? And I think I think Ted Kaczynski is a very troubled, or he was a very troubled individual. And I think that while this didn't help him, this wasn't the thing that made him become the Unabomber.
Right. Yeah. So it's like a no, but it's like a no with a but.
In 1962, he enrolled at the University of Michigan, where he earned his master's and doctoral degrees in mathematics in 1964 and 1967. Michigan was not his first choice for postgraduate education. He had applied to the University of California, Berkeley, and the University of Chicago, both of which accepted him but offered him no teaching position or financial aid. Michigan, though, had offered him an annual grant of about $2,310, which in 2024 money is $24,000.
That still's not going to do shit for you, especially these big schools.
I mean, it helps. At Michigan, Kaczynski specialized in complex analysis, specifically geometric function theory. Professor Peter Duren said of Kaczynski, he was an unusual person. He was not like the other graduate students. He was much more focused about his work. He had a drive to discover mathematical truth. George Piranian, another Michigan mathematics professor, said, "It is not enough to say he was smart."
Hmm. Okay. Piranian, that's high praise. Did you hear that, Martha?
What should we say then?
Our boy is more than just smart, Martha.
There's a quote later on where one of his professors says, like, how much of a genius he was, that, like, only, like, there's probably only, like, 12 people who actually understand what he's writing about. Piranian Tokosinski function theory and recalled, he's very persistent in his work. If a problem was hard, he worked harder. He was easily the top student or one of the top. Professor Alan Shields wrote about Kaczynski in a great evaluation that he was the quote unquote best man I have seen.
That's it. That's the thing.
That's the thing.
He was the best man I've seen. I don't know. I think he was a little lacking as a man. You know, he's
these
smart.
These comments are just so tepid and just lukewarm. It's just like, yeah, he was certainly a person.
He was a guy.
Well, these are math professors, though.
He certainly had a brain.
Listen,
I mean, you know,
2 feet, two hands. It was all five fingers on both hands. You know,
always came to class with one leg in each pant. Like,
yep, shirt, glasses, hair, skin.
he was certainly a person. That's what we could say about Ted Kaczynski.
Corporeal. That's how I would describe him. The man was alive.
He would receive 1 F, 5 B's, and 12 A's in his 18 courses at the university.
Where did you get an F in?
It didn't say where he got the F in. In 2006, he said he had unpleasant memories of Michigan and felt the university had low standards for grading considering his relatively high grades.
My brother in Christ, you got an F. What do you mean low standards for grading? You got an F.
An F at even an undergrad is like what the fuck are you
doing? Dude, that had to be PE. He had to have failed fucking physical fitness.
Hey, odds are good.
Ted, go run a mile. Oh, I don't want to.
Oh man, that sounds just like him.
You just fucking
failed the president fitness test so many times.
That Mr. Gerald Ford has shown up.
He tries to like do the hurdles and he literally smacks every single one.
I'm Gerald Ford.
Yes, Mr. President. For several weeks in 1966, Kaczynski experienced intense sexual fantasies of being female and decided to undergo gender transition.
Really?
That would have been a really strange-looking individual who would go on to be the Unabomber if he actually went through with that.
He arranged to meet with a psychiatrist, but changed his mind in the waiting room and discussed other things instead, without disclosing his original reason for making the appointment. Afterward...
He just changed his mind, that's it?
Yeah, he changed his mind in the waiting room and just talked about other things.
I feel like you made a point. You were so solid about this that you booked an appointment with a psychiatrist, and then you changed your mind after you've rounded third base headed for home? What?
I'm sorry that the Unabomber is not more consistent. After this, he was enraged, and he considered killing the psychiatrist and other people whom he hated.
I'll kill you!
He described this period as a major turning point in his life.
It's got a lot of major fucking turning points. Mm-hmm. Maybe ease up.
There's a lot of turns on the way to becoming the Unabomber.
I'm just saying, maybe ease up with that as like your comparison, you know? It's like someone who walks around all the time and says, that's awesome. Like, get another word. Jesus.
Pick something else.
It was a major turning point in my life when I figured out algebra. Major turning point.
It was a turning point in my life when I graduated at 15.
Yeah. Major turning point when I came all over myself. Major turning point.
Big turning point when I failed PE class.
Oh my god.
Michigan.
Was he trans? Or was he like...
I don't know if he was. I don't really think he was, because it wasn't like...
It can't have been, because Republicans haven't glommed onto it, so, you know.
It doesn't come up later on. I just think he's like a very troubled individual.
Sure.
But okay. But he recalled, to quote him on talking about this, he said, "I felt disgusted about what my uncontrolled sexual cravings had almost led me to do. And I felt humiliated, and I violently hated the psychiatrist. Just then, there came a major turning point in my life. Like a fan, I burnt from the ashes of my despair to a glorious new hope."
Oh, God. With the fucking imagery, my guy. All right, dude.
In 1967, his dissertation, Boundary Functions, won the Sumner B. Mayer's Prize for Michigan's Best Mathematics Dissertation of the Year.
Nice.
Alan Shields, his doctoral advisor, called it, quote unquote, "the best I have ever directed." And Maxwell Reed, a member of the dissertation committee, said, "I would guess that maybe 10 or 12 men in the country understood or appreciated it."
That's crazy.
In late 1967, the 25-year-old Kaczynski became an acting assistant professor at the University of California, Berkeley, where he taught mathematics.
I thought that he was going to be teaching geology.
Oh, no, that was Gus Bernstein, I think. No.
He assumed the position of the youngest assistant professor in the history of the university. By September of 1968, Kaczynski was formally appointed to an assistant professorship, a sign that he was on track for tenure.
1968. Hey.
His teaching evaluation suggested that he was not well liked by his students. He seemed uncomfortable teaching, taught straight from the textbook, and refused to answer questions.
That's just your average college professor.
I'm just imagining him up there just reading from the book. Someone asks a question, he just ignores them and continues reading from the book.
And it's math at that, too. So it's just like, you really, that's got to be a shitty fucking teaching experience.
Y equals mx plus b, 6 quadratic minus definitions of diamond. Yeah, and she's like, shut the fuck up.
Like, as somebody who sucks in math, who consistently asks questions, like, oh god, that class would be a nightmare.
Without any explanation, Kaczynski resigned on June 30th, 1969.
Well, that's not very professional.
It ain't. No, it
please
ain't,
let a motherfucker know why you leaving, you know?
In a 1970
call
letter...
call that the Irish resignation.
In a 1970 letter written by John W. Addison Jr., the chairman of the mathematics department... Kaczynski's doctoral advisor, Shields, Addison referred to the resignation as quite out of the blue. He added that Kaczynski seemed almost pathologically shy, and that as far as he knew, Kaczynski made no close friends in the department, noting the efforts to bring him more into the quote-unquote swing of things had failed.
He was probably too fucked up by that point, you know, to be spun around. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of time in your youth where you're still very malleable, but like once you hit your early 20s, that slows down, man.
I just think he was just like completely like rattled by the fact that they took him out of like, they kept advancing him up grades.
Mm-hmm.
In 1996, reporters for the Los Angeles Times interviewed mathematicians about Kaczynski's work and concluded that Kaczynski's subfield effectively ceased to exist after the 1960s, as most of his conjectures have been proven. According to the mathematician Donald Rung, if Kaczynski had continued to work in mathematics, he probably would have gone on to some other area.
What do you mean, some other area? It's math. What other area would they be going on to?
Physics or something like that?
It would be like a new, like... like area of mathematics, because like the area he had been in, like enough people had proven things that it's not really like theoretical anymore. It's become like factual.
It's become radical.
So you'd probably
wait, new areas of mathematics. You mean the people still make up new areas of this fucking horseshit?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's like physics. It's like
theoretical physics.
Yeah. Because, like, a friend of mine growing up, his father has a doctorate in, like, quantum physics, and just, like, talking with him. And even then, like, he has a doctorate in it, and I was talking to him about, like, string theory, and he was just like, he's like, yeah, that's what they think, or, like, just generally, like, yeah, that's what we currently believe. It's not, like, a definite thing. But with mathematics, it's very easy to, like, put in, like, oh, this is what it actually is.
Yeah, 4 + 4 = 8, bro. I don't need to prove it. Just look at it. Like, what?
This fucking guy. Jeez.
What do you need to prove? You got two numbers? You can physically see the result of the two numbers.
I mean, I'm not a math guy, but I know enough. I watch enough math, like, weirdos online to know that there's more to it than that.
I don't know, man. It's numbers.
Yeah.
After resigning from Berkeley, Kaczynski moved into his parents' house in Lombard, Illinois. 2 years later, in 1971, he moved to a remote cabin he had built outside Lincoln, Montana.
Like one of the smartest people in the world, and he moves home with his parents and then moves into a cabin.
Have you moved back in with your parents before?
So this is the point where I'm going to stray from the official narrative of him being in like this like isolated shack in the woods. Bro, you could see the fucking interstate from his cabin. You could hear trucks going by. He was isolated.
He complains about that. And he also would volunteer at the library, which I'll get to. So it wasn't like he was close enough that he could actually like go to civilization. It's not like he was in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, no, again, he was within earshot of an interstate and could see cars. Like, I don't...
And apparently in the community, he was not considered odd because there were a number of people that lived like he did.
Right.
So he moved there so he could live a simple life with little money and without electricity or running water, working odd jobs and receiving significant financial support from his family. His original goal was to become self-sufficient so he could live autonomously. He used an old bicycle to get to town, and he would volunteer at the local library, a volunteer at the local library said he visited frequently to read classic works in their original languages.
Look at this fucking blowhard! Oh, I'm reading them in their original languages. Shut up, Ted.
Other Lincoln residents said later that such a lifestyle was typical in the area. And his cabin was described by a census
typical lifestyle in that area. Typical.
In the 1990 census, as containing a bed, two chairs, storage trunks, a gas stove, and lots of books.
How many books?
Starting in that.
What kind?
Lots of books.
Lots.
Yeah. That's cool, I guess.
Starting in 1975, Kaczynski performed acts of sabotage, including arson and booby trapping against developments near his cabin.
Would you say that he couldn't stand it? That he knew they planted?
Oh my god.
You said sabotage.
Sabotage!
I can't stand it. It's so good.
He also dedicated himself to reading about sociology and political philosophy, including the works of Jacques Ellul. Kaczynski's brother David later stated that Ellul's book, The Technological Society, became Ted's Bible.
Oh, here we go.
Kaczynski recounted in 1998, "When I read the book for the first time, I was delighted because I thought, here's someone who is saying what I have already been thinking."
Oh, that's always dangerous.
In an interview after his arrest, Kaczynski recalled being shocked on a hike to one of his favorite wild spots.
Shocked.
It's kind of rolling country, not flat. And when you get to the edge of it, you find these ravines that cut very steeply into the cliff-like drop-offs, and there was even a waterfall there. It was about a 2 days hike from my cabin. That was the best spot until the summer of 1983. That summer, there were too many people around my cabin, so I decided I needed some peace. I went back to the plateau, and when I got there, I found they had put a road right through the middle of it. You just can't imagine how upset I was. I was from that point on, I decided, rather than trying to acquire further wilderness skills, I would work on getting back at the system. Revenge.
Let's go!
During the 1980s and 90s as well, Kaczynski's neighbors suspected him of attacking and poisoning their dogs on multiple occasions.
I'm sorry, what? Why? What do dogs do?
I'm not sure, but after his
arrest,
they're
probably barking while he was counting or something, you know? Yeah. God damn it! I lost my fucking count. Fuck, I'm gonna kill that dog.
Christ. I'm doing math over here.
He's interrupting my math!
Dogs don't understand the quadratic equation.
I'm trying to prove that 10 plus 10 is 20, and these dogs are just totally fucking me up.
In 10th dimensional binomials, maybe. This fucking dog.
After his arrest, the FBI found poisons in his cabin, and in later letters, he admitted to killing at least one dog.
Doritos.
Disgusting.
Kaczynski was visited multiple times in Montana by his father, who was impressed by Ted's wilderness skills. His father was diagnosed
with terminal lung cancer. Boy, Ted, you're a crack shot out here.
His father was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer in 1990 and held a family meeting with Al Kaczynski later that year to map out their future. On October 2nd, 1990, his father shot and killed himself in his home.
Goddamn. And that was another turning point.
That was Mr. Kaczynski described that as a turning point in his life.
We know Ted's life is kind of like NASCAR. It's just like there's going to be a lot of turns.
Nice.
It's just a circle of turns that gradually leads.
His whole life
carrying out a bombing campaign. Between 1978 and 1995, Kaczynski mailed or hand-delivered a series of increasingly sophisticated bombs that cumulatively killed 3 people and injured 23 others. 16 bombs were attributed to Kaczynski. While the bombing devices varied widely through the years, many contained the initials FC, which Kaczynski later said stood for Freedom Club, inscribed on parts inside. He purposely left misleading clues in the devices and took extreme care in preparing them to avoid leaving fingerprints. Fingerprints found on some of the devices did not match those found on letters attributed to him.
Oh, damn. So he's, like, planting fingerprints.
Or maybe
somebody has handled it, I guess.
Kaczynski's first mail bomb was directed at Buckley Crist, a professor of materials engineering at Northwestern University. Hence why he's called the Unabomber, because a lot of his targets are university professors. On May 25th, 1978, a package bearing Chris's return address was found in a parking lot at the University of Illinois at Chicago. The package was returned to Chris, who was suspicious because he had not sent it, or so he contacted the campus police. Campus officer Terry Marker opened the package, which exploded and caused minor injuries.
Jeez.
During this time, Kaczynski had returned to Chicago for the May 1978 bombing and stayed there for a time to work with his father and brother at a foam rubber factory. In August of 1978, his brother fired him for writing insulting limericks about a female supervisor Ted headquartered briefly.
There once was a lady named Ted.
Bitch for Nantucket.
A tisket.
Ted Kaczynski is like his five minutes were really good. Just gonna say.
His tight five.
Yeah, his tight five.
His crowd work was impeccable.
The supervisor later recalled Kaczynski as intelligent and quiet, but remembered little of their acquaintanceship, and firmly denied that he had any romantic relationship. Kaczynski's second bomb was sent nearly 1 year after the first one, again to Northwestern University. The bomb, concealed inside a cigar box and left on a table, caused minor injuries to a graduate student named John Harris when he opened it.
Boom.
In 1979, a bomb was placed in the cargo hold of American Airlines Flight 444, a Boeing 727 flying from Chicago to Washington, D.C.
We're going to rub your ass to the moonshine. Let's take it back to 1979.
The bomb released smoke, which caused pilots to carry out an emergency landing. Authorities said it had enough power to obliterate the plane had it exploded.
So, so why didn't it explode? Was it, did you just put a smoke bomb on there?
Well, no, it just was faulty.
Where was this?
Kaczynski had 1978, or 1979. Mm. Which is crazy, because Kaczynski's not caught until the 90s.
Yeah.
Kaczynski had used...
How did he get it on the plane? Like, where was it?
It was in the cargo hold.
Oh, so he probably just, went to the airport and threw a bag with it on it, like, in the plane?
Well, I mean, it's also, like, pre-9/11, so I don't really know how it works, but I imagine you could probably just, like, walk in and be like, yeah, I'm going on this flight.
Give him the bag and then just walk out. So the gates are that way. Yeah, I know, it's fine. Just put my bag in the plane, it's fine.
It was described as Kaczynski had used a barometer-triggered device. It had succeeded only in setting some mailbags on fire and forcing an emergency landing. In a letter written years later, the Unabomber expressed relief that the airline bomb had failed since its target had been too indiscriminate. Kaczynski had sent his next bomb.
He didn't really send out a manifesto saying why he did it, so yeah, they have no idea why the fuck.
This the manifesto hasn't gone out. We'll talk about that in the next episode.
We got a two-parter.
Yep, it's a two-parter.
Two-parter.
Kaczynski, his next bomb was sent to the president of United Airlines, Percy Wood. Wood received cuts and burns on most of his body from the bomb.
That's a little bit more specific. bit more specific.
Kaczynski left clues in most bombs, which he intentionally made hard to find to make them appear more legitimate. Clues included metal plates stamped with the initials FC hidden somewhere, usually in the pipe end cap in bombs, a note left in a bomb that did not detonate, reading, WU, it works. I told you it would, RV. And Eugene O'Neill's $1 stamps, often used as postage on his boxes. He sent one bomb embedded in a copy of Sloan Wilson's novel Ice Brothers.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I think I glazed over there for a second. Did you just say $1 stamps in the 60s? Dude, this shit must have cost like fucking 12 cents to send. What the hell is he putting a dollar stamp on?
He's sending boxes, so it's probably just like, when they say stamps, I think they mean like one stamp.
Oh, okay.
The FBI theorized that Kaczynski's crimes involved a theme of nature, trees, and wood. He often included bits of tree branch and bark in his mom's. His selected targets included Percy Wood and Leroy Wood. The crime writer Robert Graysmith noted his obsession with wood was a large factor in the bombings.
His obsession with wood. Okay.
Percy Wood.
Got that Percy Wood.
Pack of wood. Percy Wood.
Got that three wood. That's what we're talking about, right?
Purse of wood.
In 1981, a package bearing the return address of Brigham Young University professor of electrical engineering, Leroy Wood Berenson, was discovered in a hallway at the University of Utah. It was brought to the campus police and was defused by a bomb squad. The following May, a bomb was sent to Patrick C. Fisher, a professor of computer science at Vanderbilt University. The package exploded when Fisher's secretary, Jan Smith, opened it, and Smith received injuries to her face and arms.
Should have been opening other people's mail. Lesson to be learned. Lesson number one, right there. Don't open other people's
silver lining.
Mail.
Silver lining in the morality, the ethicalness.
I forget when it was sent, but the one guy at Microsoft, I think he sold it at auction. I forget if the auction actually went through, but he received a package from the Unabomber and he never opened it. It just got like put into storage because he never claimed it. And he's like, what? Yeah, I have this package. It's from the Unabomber and I never opened it. I don't know what's going to happen, but.
Yeah. How did he know it was from the Unabomber?
Well, because he put two and two together, like with how Ted would send these. And he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure this is like a Unabomber package.
That's fucking awesome. Did anybody buy it?
I'm not sure. I'll have to look into it. I'll come back the next episode after I research it a bit. But
please tell me that they sent it to an X-ray scanner at the airport or some shit, and they found it. Like, oh no, this is fucking real.
But it was a situation where it got sent to his office, and he never claimed it or whatever. It just got put into storage.
Yeah.
Kaczynski's next two bombs targeted people at the University of California, Berkeley. Hmm. The first in July of 1982 caused serious injuries.
What are you gonna
fuck
with Berkeley for? That's fucked up.
Isn't that where he got one of his Fs? It was Berkeley?
Maybe. But that was the Berkeley School of Music.
He failed at playing the piccolo.
Yeah.
The clarinet.
Yeah.
The recorder.
His tromboning was not good enough.
Yeah, they said he was a real tromboner.
Yeah, they said, "You, Mr. Kaczynski, you are not an adequate tromboner. I must ask you to leave."
I think, isn't it trombonist? I'm not sure.
I choose tromboner.
You just sound like you were in like a commercial for like some weird form of fucking like leather wax or something, you know? When I need waxing on my leathers, I choose tromboner.
The first in July.
Tromboner, leather wax.
Proctor and Gamble. Serious injuries. Engineering professor Diogenes Angelakos.
What is he, a fucking black chess player in the park?
this is like possibly like...
It's like the name I would give a character, like, you know, Diogenes.
This is like the Greekest like Greek man, whoever Greek is, yeah. Diogenes.
Thelonious monk's son, Diogenes Angelakos.
Nearly 3 years later, in May of 1985, John Hauser, a graduate student and captain in the United States Air Force, lost four fingers and vision in one eye from a bomb. Most of Kaczynski's bombs were handcrafted from wooden parts. A bomb sent to the Boeing Company in Auburn, Washington, was defused by a bomb squad the following month. In November of 1985, Professor James V. McConnell and research assistant Nicholas Sweeney were both severely injured after Sweeney opened a mail bomb addressed to McConnell.
So, I had to look up Diogenes to see like where he was from, to see if he was Greek or something like that. Yeah. No, he's American. But I went down kind of a rabbit hole, because apparently, after he was targeted by Kaczynski, right, he was one of the first people that like administered first aid to another person that Kaczynski fucking bombed. John Hauser, like, he was the first person there to help Hauser when Kaczynski killed or fucked him up.
Like, oh, not again.
I wonder if he knew
God
that.
Damn it, Ted.
It says that he used his necktie as a tourniquet to stem the bleeding, too. Like, so he wasn't just, like, walking up like, hey, man, you good? You good? All right, cool. Like, he actually helped the guy. That's crazy.
In late 1985, a nail and splinter loaded bomb in the parking lot of a computer store in Sacramento, California, killed the 38-year-old owner of the store, Hugh Scranton.
Jesus.
On February 20th, 1987, a bomb disguised as a piece of lumber injured Gary Wright in the parking lot of a computer store in Salt Lake City, Utah. Nerves in Wright's left arm were severed, and at least 200 pieces of shrapnel entered his body. Kaczynski, though, was spotted while planting this bomb, and this led to the widely distributed sketch of the suspect as a hooded man with a mustache and aviator sunglasses. In 1993, after a six-year break, Kaczynski mailed a bomb to the home of...
with aviator sunglasses and a mustache. So they're going to release... they're just going to arrest half of Canada then.
That's the famous Kaczynski sketch.
Right? Yeah, that's the famous sketch.
That's the sketch. Like, that is the one, is because of the bomb that he planted in Salt Lake City. Doesn't look anything like him, by the way. Looks nothing like him at all.
In 1993, after a six-year break, he mailed a bomb to the home of Charles Epstein from the University of California, San Francisco.
Wait, like, is that like, is he related to, like the Epstein?
No, he's not related to that Epstein.
Are you sure?
You're positive.
A lot of people on that list.
Well, you know, the guy didn't do anything, Steve. I don't know why we're still talking about him, you know, like.
Yeah, you know, that lady, Ghislaine,
she was just a victim.
Nah, just call her, listen, just call her Ghislaine, all right, because that's her name. And, yeah.
That's what I've been calling her since I learned about this chick. Her name is Ghislaine, never call her anything else because
Because if she heard me, if I was ever in earshot, I would want her to hear me say it that way because it's probably her trigger, you know?
Yeah.
Epstein never met with the Prime Minister of Israel like 34 times, and, you know, Ghislaine's father was not like... there were not, like, six former heads of the Mossad at his funeral and, like, the Prime Minister of Israel and all these other things, so...
Are you talking about Robert Maxwell? That guy, huh? Robbie Max?
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, like, a lot of things are flying around.
Is that her dad? Anti-Semitic. Really?
Yeah, Robert Maxwell's her dad.
I know,
yeah.
I'm just being a bastard. Fucking Ghislaine.
All right, so Teddy did not almost get the father of Dickhead?
No. But Epstein lost several fingers opening the package. On the same weekend, he mailed a bomb to David Glorditer, a computer science professor at Yale University. Glorditer lost sight in one eye, hearing in one ear, and a portion of his right hand in the bombing.
So, up to this point, Ted Kaczynski is not a very successful, quote-unquote, successful... bomber,
he's injured a lot of guys, but he's only killed like three, I think, his entire career. I think his kill count is three.
Yeah, his total kill count's very, very low. But also, at this point, nobody knows any reason of why he's doing this. This guy's secretary that got blown the fuck up, she doesn't know why that just happened to her, right? She has no idea. Like, there's nothing nationwide going out like, oh, say... like a manifesto?
I will just say that his bombing campaign starts in 1978, and he does not send a manifesto out until 17 years later.
Which is crazy, because nobody knows what the fuck's going on, so what is the point
of this bomb? Guy's a lot smarter than us, and he's on a different timeline, you know? So,
gosh.
He had to do it just when it felt like it was the right time, you know? You get enough fear out there, enough randomness, and then you go, yeah, these were all part of my plan. My dental insurance covers nothing. What's the problem here? Why do they even lie? It shouldn't legally be allowed to be called dental insurance, okay? It doesn't cover anything.
In 1994, Burson Marsteller executive Thomas J. Moser was killed after opening a mail bomb sent to his home in New Jersey.
There it is. There's the first one, right?
I think he killed a guy before then because he killed the computer store owner.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, does that count? Because did he die when the blast happened, or did he die later? Or does it matter? Are we splitting hairs that much?
I think he died as a result of the bomb. I think it's safe to say.
Okay, all right. So this is two. His body counts up to two now.
No, he didn't die immediately. It don't count. He could have died at anything.
Yeah, the gun didn't kill him.
No, he died the initial blast, so it doesn't count.
Guns don't kill people.
He kills a bomber. Hey, sepsis killed him, okay? You add that to sepsis's body count.
You're going with the child-like COVID-like thing where they're just like, They're just like, who died?
Have you guys seen bears? Have you seen bears?
Other factors.
Have you seen bears yet?
COVID.
Do you see what about the excess? What about the excess deaths? What about the excess deaths? That's all I'm saying. What about it? What about it? What about it?
He died with COVID, guys. He didn't die of COVID. Like, shut the fuck up.
I can't fucking stand that shit, dude. Oh my god. They gave out like fucking 300 million COVID shots, and apparently we're all supposed to have been dead like 3.5 years ago.
And these people, according to Alex Jones, we all should have been dead like several years ago.
Yeah, like, are you fucking, you're out of your mind. Like, nobody who's serious can really believe that shit. Nobody.
In a letter to the New York Times, Kaczynski wrote he had sent the bomb because of Moser's work repairing the public image of Exxon after the Exxon Valdez oil spill. This was followed by the 1995 murder of Gilbert Brent Murray, president of the Timber Industry Lobbying Group, California Forestry Association, by a mail bomb addressed to previous president William Dennison, who had retired.
Wow.
Geneticist Philip Sharp at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology received a threatening letter shortly afterward.
Was the threatening letter from Kaczynski?
Yes, it was from Kaczynski.
What did it say? Hey, yo, stop.
Knock it off.
Cut this shit out. Don't even get me started on the evils of an industrialized society.
You got a hoodie on, take it off.
Don't make me come down there, Jack.
We will go into his actual beliefs that are in his manifesto in the next episode.
Ah, man.
We will talk about part one. Yeah, this was part one. We'll talk about industrial society and its future at the opening of the next episode.
Oh, that's when he begins
to send it out.
So, just knowing what I know about Kaczynski, which is a lot, because I have learned a lot about this absolute fucking clown over the years.
Yeah.
If he was alive today, and like a free man, so like he could see the technology that was going on, he would absolutely lose his fucking mind. Like, just people with drones, flying drones around, like, he would lose it. He would lose his fucking shit. Amazon would be target number one for this dude.
Yeah,
I will say that he does have a large following in the what's called the eco-fascist community, and especially within like the Arab fascist community.
But do they want to emulate him?
Well, I would say that they look at like we'll get into it, but it's just sort of like they look at what he was writing about and they agree with it because they hate technology because they feel like. That's the part where like we went wrong as like a species,
which is kind of ridiculous. Like I believe some technology is kind of fucking stupid, like AI and like social media. Like certain aspects are ridiculous, but technology is undoubtedly like a good thing. So Ted might have missed this one.
Yeah, we'll get into it. But Ted Kaczynski's essential like thesis is that the Industrial Revolution was the greatest mistake that the human race ever perpetrated.
Oh yikes, Ted. Yikes, bro. What a take. What an absolutely scorching hot take.
A guy who randomly kills people has a bad take? No shit. Wake me up when you get me a fucking real shocker. Holy shit.
Oh, God. It's another one of those times where you can, like, hear the intro as it's happening.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. All right, good night.
Just gonna put it out there, you know, he had a bad take. This guy might be a little bit canceled if he was still around today.
Hey, a little touch canceled, huh? Hey. Oh, hey. All right. Good night.
Oh, shit.
Good night. Good luck.
Good night. Bye.